Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Lorinella of the High Desert here. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. It is currently Monday, June 22nd, 2015, 10:30 a.m. Please keep that in mind as I share information throughout this show. I record once a week, so if you listen towards the end of the week, then it might be outdated information, obviously, by then. But I just want to say that this show is brought to you by Grow with Lauren L. That's my personal online marketing services. I offer services to individuals and businesses in online marketing, primarily social media, email marketing, internet outreach. I do one-on-one consulting if you have any particular questions about how to build your online presence. I also offer virtual assistant tasks. So if there's something that you've been meaning to do online, you don't know how to do it, or there's something you've been putting off that involves maybe your website or your online or your social media profiles, then you can contact me, let me know what you have in mind, and I'll probably be able to work on it for you and to help with you. I also work virtually. So even if we live a distance away from each other, I'm able to do Skype calls or talk to you on your phone and answer through emails, so we don't have to work in person. And I also have no hourly requirement per week. So if you'd like to know more, then just email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com, and I'm happy to speak with you further about that. I'm kicking off the show with a piece of history about the Morongo Basin. I do this on all my shows. I love to share history about this area and to really give insight about how this area here in the Morongo Basin has developed over the past 100 years, because where I'm getting this information from is coming from a booklet published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society, as well as the 29 Palms Historical Society. It is a 100-year project from 1910 to 2010. So today I am reading an article that is based on the year 1928, and the title is 29 Palms Inn Established. Here's what it says. Earl Chapman's Gold Park Hotel was the first commercial hotel in the Morongo Basin. It consisted of one large building and several small wooden cabins. When W.P. Roberts purchased the hotel, he hired two men to drag the buildings approximately 1 mile west to the oasis of Mara, once the home of the Native Americans of this area. Thus, in 1928, the 29 Palms Inn came into being. The following year, Harry Johan Singh bought the inn and 30 acres, and it has stayed in his family's hands ever since. More accommodations were added in the 1930s when local men were hired to build more cabins and adobe bungalows. The inn boasts its own garden, Faultline Farm, growing produce that is featured on the restaurant's menu. The property is one of five privately owned natural oases and oldest commercial establishment in the Morongo Basin. Oh, I didn't know that. It's the oldest commercial establishment in the Morongo Basin. Wow, that's impressive. And the 29 Palms Inn is actually really active today. They just recently hosted a video showing for a Southern California-based producer who put together a documentary, and I'm constantly hearing about other events that happen at the 29 Palms Inn, not to mention it's right across the street from the old schoolhouse in 29 Palms, so sometimes the people who attend the lecture series at the old schoolhouse in 29 Palms will eat dinner before the lecture at the 29 Palms Inn. So it is a fun place. I encourage all of you to visit. I really have no events for this week. I have not heard of events. I know a lot of people are taking off for the summertime. So hopefully I'll be getting more emails about events happening this summer. The main event that I have on the calendar this week is the Transition Joshua Tree quarterly meeting that's taking place on June 28th, starting at 6 p.m., and this will be taking place at the Mojave Desert Land Trust, the new location located in Joshua Tree on the 29 Palms Highway. This meeting will be very interesting. Transition Joshua Tree is one of my favorite groups in the area. They do a lot of activities, very passionate people, very friendly. And so I encourage you to attend this meeting and to hear what's the latest with Transition Joshua Tree. They have various groups relating to permaculture, water, as well as reaching out to the community and hosting events for the community to communicate and share thoughts on particular topics. It's a really great group. I look forward to this meeting. If you know of events coming up in the next few weeks or over the summer, then please let me know. You can email me at lauren.lhighdesert@gmail.com. That's my email. And you can also visit laurenlofthehighdesert.com. High is spelled H-I. Covering recent news, I recently attended a sound session hosted by 33 Bowls, also known as Hans, at First World in Joshua Tree. I love Hans and what he does. He has a large collection of Tibetan singing bowls. He's been a featured musician at the Integratron to host sound sessions. And so I always look forward to his sound sessions. He hosts them quarterly, and you have to keep up with him. Again, his name is 33 Bowls, and it's just such a great event to go to for relaxation and to come at peace with yourself. I recently went on a three-week vacation. I had a great time, but I have to be honest, I was really worn out afterwards. And so I really looked forward to this sound session hosted by 33 Bowls, and it was wonderful, the setting, the temperature of the room. I really enjoyed it. I also attended Astronomy of Art, which was hosted by the Joshua Tree Astronomy Arts Theater on June 21st, 2015. It took place at the RV campground, which their events always take place there, the Joshua Tree Astronomy Arts Theater. This was a celebration of the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, and it was really great. There was a great turnout, very social group. A number of telescopes were set up and pointing at different locations in the sky. Also, there was a musician who performed his music, and the weather was just wonderful. It was warm, but at the same time comfortable. And everyone enjoyed themselves there. There was also a really great art display. And I encourage you to look into the Joshua Tree community or the Joshua Tree Astronomy Arts Theater. They put on great events. As of this morning, June 22nd, 2015, I did read recent news about the lake fire happening in the San Bernardino Mountains, which has been the discussion for the past week, and from what I have gathered from various sources online, the fire is 19 to 21% contained at this point. It has slowed down significantly. I was reading an article from the High Desert Star that said that the fire had initially broke out and burned 10,000 acres in the first day, which is huge, and at this point 17,000 acres have been burned. So it has been slowing down, and the containment is increasing. I read another article that stated the fire was approximately 10 to 12 miles away from Pioneer Town and Morongo Valley areas. I'm not exactly sure how far it is now, but there was plans to evacuate those areas, Pioneer Town and Morongo Valley. There has been large areas burned by firefighters to prevent the fire from moving forward to those areas. And as of recent, I read that those areas are no longer considered to be threatened right now, so there are no plans of evacuation at this point in time. There's about 2,000 firefighters working on this fire, so I look forward to when the fire is out. It's been going on since Wednesday, quite some time. An interesting article was shared in the No Dollar General Facebook page. And this article was about the impact that big box stores such as Walmart, Lowe's, and other stores have on small governments and cities in terms of resource expenses and expenses relating to services. For example, a lot of these big box store shopping centers are often put in on the outskirts of town in more remote locations, and so when these stores and shopping centers are built, there is a lot of work and money put into the project to extend sewage pipelines, plumbing, and this requires effort on the city's part to accommodate this new infrastructure. And also, it was interesting to read about the increased crime around these stores and that there's actually more police force and safety measures having to be taken around these stores, which is relatively true. It seems to me, as I read a lot of stories involving crime at Walmart, ranging from a dead body being found behind the store to theft to a bomb threat, it's amazing to think that having this store in town has brought a lot of crime to that particular area. And I question what residents think about that. But I just have a tidbit from this article, because the article was also about how these big box stores find loopholes in the tax system and other areas where they can scrape by and not having to pay money on certain aspects. So let me just open this for you. This link that I'm talking about, this article, is actually available on my Facebook page, Lauren L. of the High Desert. And so if you just search me on Facebook and go to that page, you will see this article. It's called Four Cities, Big Box Stores Are Becoming Even More of a Terrible Deal, and it's published by ILSR.org. In the article, it also stated, thanks to a new method that big box stores are using to game the tax system, Marquette Township owed a $755,828 tax refund to the home improvement chain Lowe's. Essential services like the library, the school district, and the fire department were on the hook to pay for it. The article is pretty long, but I thought that was really interesting, and that's what caught my attention was, wow, this township is having to pay a tax to the system for Lowe's when, this town has to cut back on these services such as school district, fire department, library, for a big box store that came into their community. And it was also stated that the big box stores, when they present themselves to cities to construct, they present this really bright future of economic growth and opportunities for the residents in the area, obviously job growth and more options available to residents, shopping options. But really, as time goes on and we've seen these shopping centers enter communities, it's devastated the communities in so many ways, and even to the point where this city has to make up this difference in taxes for Lowe's. So very fascinating article. I encourage you to read it, and it'll really let you see into what these stores are, how they're impacting communities. There's been a lot of information as of recent posted on the No Dollar General Facebook group, primarily letters being sent to San Bernardino County representatives, letters that entail information from the community about the situation as of now with the Dollar General in town. So if you go to Facebook and you search No Dollar General in Joshua Tree, you will come across the group, which is a relatively large group. It has 1,800 members, approximately, and there is constantly information being posted here. So on June 17th, Celeste Doyle, a local resident, posted a letter that she wrote to Heidi Duran, who is supervising planner of the Land Use Services Department for the San Bernardino County. And she, Celeste, who wrote this letter, goes into detail about, for me personally, it's a bit advanced. Celeste and other residents of the community have been way more involved with this event. But Celeste goes into detail not supporting the Dollar General store. And she goes into specific permits and documents presented. why she does not support the Dollar General. And it's really great information, actually, when you read the letter, because it gives more insight and specific detail. That's what it comes down to with this at this point in time with Dollar General. It's not simply saying, I don't want a Dollar General. It's actually very specific. A lot of the residents here are being very specific on documents, permits, doing their research about how to combat this kind of development in the area with the county. And so to read this letter gives insight about that. Thomas Faustum also posted a letter, so he has great information. And on top of that, he posted links to documents about the Joshua Tree retail store, which is also known as the Dollar General, from the county website. And this is a great place to find a lot of specific information about this project, such as it goes into such detail, the document and studies done, such as air quality and greenhouse gas emissions, biologist letter. There's a section about burrowing owl habitat, archaeological information center, Native American Heritage Commission sacred lands file, geotechnical report, also preliminary water quality management plan. So when these stores are built, all of this information has to be gathered and collected. I really don't know if this is normal for various stores like this in other communities. I'll probably ask around to see if this is normal, because I know that when I was located in Hemet, I didn't hear anything combating a store called Dollar or Family Dollar. Family Dollar was built in Hemet, California. I didn't hear anything. And I was connected with local groups as well in that area on Facebook. And I never heard anything of people combating it or any thoughts on it. And all of a sudden, a store is being built. So I don't know if this is normal for a store to do all of this, all of these studies. But here in Joshua Tree, it's being demanded from the residents that all these studies are conducted and really to prolong the process of the store being developed so that the county gets the idea that the community here is very involved and very concerned about this measure. So please go to the No Dollar General Joshua Tree Facebook page. You can learn so much. You can learn the specific, again, the documents, studies that have been conducted, reports, as well as community members who have really put together substantial letters to the Development Department of San Bernardino County. It's very impressive. I came across an article on Z1077. I just wanted to share this. I should have shared this in the event area of my broadcast, but I did come across an article that said tennis classes start tomorrow, and here's what the article reads. It was published on June 22, 2015. The Morongo Basin Tennis Association is sponsoring a six-week class beginning in intermediate tennis players. The National Junior Tennis and Learning class is for boys and girls between the ages of 8 and 17. The classes start June 23rd and go through July 30th from 8 to 10 Tuesday and Thursday mornings. The classes are held on the lower tennis courts at Jacobs Park in Yucca Valley. The fee for the entire program is only $10 per player and includes 24 hours of instruction, a free t-shirt, and a tennis racket. If needed, sign up with the Morongo Basin Tennis Association at 760-365-3851. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'm very supportive of tennis. I played in high school for 3 years. This is personal information, but tennis is a pretty avid sport, especially down in the Coachella Valley with the tennis gardens being there. And the huge tennis tournament, BNP Paribas, takes place there where tennis players from all over the world visit. I'm relatively surprised pretty often when I talk to local residents about the BNP Paribas and tennis in this area. And a lot of people are not knowledgeable of how active tennis is in the area. Obviously, golf is very popular here, but tennis is another sport that takes place frequently. So if you have kids, that's a great program to be a part of. That's all I have for now in terms of reports. Ending the show a little early. If there's something you would like me to discuss in the future on my broadcast, then please let me know. You can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com. Also visit me online at laurenlofthehighdesert.com. I'm very proud to say that my website has been getting consistent traffic over the past few weeks, and I am regularly getting people liking my Facebook page without me even asking, people that I don't even know of who live in different parts of the United States, yet they're still indirectly connected with the community here. So I'm very excited about that, and it's really interesting because obviously my broadcast is supported by the local community here, but Joshua Tree is such a destination for people all over the world. Obviously, people come here in the wintertime to vacation and to have a good time and for their getaways. So a lot of people have their eyes on this area, even though they may be living in a different state. They might be living on the other side of the country. There are a lot of people keeping track of the activity happening here. And so I'm really glad to be able to provide information to people around the world and around the United States and to be a voice for the community here. So again, I just emphasize, if there's something you would like to talk about on my broadcast that relates to environmental impact in the area, commercial growth development, and related topics, then please let me know. I hope all of you have a great week, and I hope you take care with the ash that's in the air and that you don't overheat. Thanks a lot. Take care.